Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Turn your tax refund into a new bathroom at Menards. Make this the year you check that project off the list. Upgrade your bathroom with Max. With more than 1,000 showers, bathtubs, and surrounds, you're sure to find exactly what you need to add luxury and style to your bathroom. Save big on our entire selection of Max bathroom products. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Look for the bare necessities. Anyway, welcome to Gun Day Brunch. I'm Caleb Giddings.
I'm Keith Finch.
And I'm Jack.
For the first time ever, you can actually fucking see. Oh, there goes our monetization. Can't swear within the first 30 seconds of the video.
Fucking lost that one already.
Yeah, well, we're out. Anyway, but for the first time ever, you can actually see Jack, which is...
As the Statue of Limitations has finally run out on everything that I allegedly did.
We can bring Jack.
Finally...
I am 100% certain some of those crimes do not have a statute of limitations. I'm also technically, I think I'm the mirror. So here's a question, like the mirror universe, right? From Star Trek, they always have the goatee, and that's how you can tell they're from the mirror universe. So is mirror universe me good or evil? Like, how does that work if you're bad in the main universe?
I do not know if morally I am a good person or a bad person. I think it's on who is viewing me at the time and through what lens. I do know that if I ever meet the exact copy of myself, I will kill him on site.
Yeah, but that's no questions. It's on site.
And then afterwards, I'll be like, was he the good guy? Was I the good guy? Wait, I have the gun, so it doesn't matter.
I win.
Now, hang on, though. What makes you think that the exact copy
in the comment section
wouldn't be strapped?
Oh, because he had to travel through the portal to come to my world, which doesn't allow mechanical stuff through. Did you not watch T2 at all?
Oh, I didn't know if we were doing Terminator.
He showed up naked, which was terrifying for people in Atlanta.
And I would have to be like, ah, an almost exact copy of me.
So anyway, when we're not talking about killing ourselves in Star Trek slash
Minecraft
for those non-statute of limitation crimes, and we're good.
I want to shout out real quick. I want to shout out my friend, Brian Eastridge, who gave me this for my birthday. If you are not watching the video version, this is a tiny jar. It has fucks in it. It has the word fuck written through it. And this is my jar of fucks to give. And I absolutely adore this because it's perfect. Because like you could be like, hang on one second, and you can pull it out and be like, you know what? I don't give a fuck about this conversation, and then just put your jar of fucks away. Or you could give someone a fuck and be like, I do give a fuck about this conversation. Or you could give them a fuck and tell them to fuck off. It's fantastic. It's a beautiful gift. Thank you, Brian. You're the man. Go to edcbeltco.com and buy his stuff. That was not a sponsored read, but this is. Gun Day Brunch is brought to you by Taurus USA and guns.com. If you're looking for information on the finest defensive and I've been so good at it, go to taurususa.com. If you want to buy some of those guns, go to guns.com. god dang it, I've been doing so good.
You ran out of fucks.
I did. All right. So on this week's episode of Gun Day Brunch, what the hell were we going to talk about? Oh, yeah. We were going to talk about the thing. Jack, tell people what the thing is.
Okay. recently, it's all right. Put yourself on mute. Cry a little. Get back in the game. Pros play hurt. Recently, Taurus did a video that I really like called Growing the Arsenal, where they talked about like, hey, these are the guns you should consider buying, and these are the reasons why from the Taurus lineup. I think it's really good. I think they have great points about all of them. But
we have a lot more of those videos coming, by the way. They're part of the Bang for the Buck series.
Ooh, wank. however, let's say you go through the time portal, doodly-doo, and you're back to square one buying guns. We'd like to give you our opinion on what you should be buying and why. Like, here's the bare minimum that you should own, and here's a little bit of cream on the top. So, what is gun number one?
It's a 22 semi-automatic pistol.
I'm in a 9mm compact semi-automatic pistol.
I'm gonna say a good carry gun, and that probably means a 9mm semi-automatic, compact or full size, depending on
your
structure. I want to be very clear here.
I'm talking traditional compacts, guys, not like a 42.
Right. And it should probably be striker fired.
I disagree with all of this. And I think that if you're talking about, okay, so if our fundamental premise is that we should be, you know, what guns must you have? Like, what are your must haves? And then where do we go from there? I think that you get a reliable 22 semi-auto before you get a 9mm striker-fired gun. I'm not saying that the 9mm striker-fired gun shouldn't be in the mix, but I think that if this fictional person that we're talking about is not a shooter who is becoming a shooter, they're going to get more value out of the 22 than they are by jumping straight to a Taurus G3.
So my reasoning for saying what I'm saying is, first, to me, security. The daily carry gun is the most likely one you'll ever need. Mm-hmm. And really, I think
it's also the most common reason for purchasing a firearm, especially a first firearm.
Right, is for self-protection. After that, I think once you start there, once you've secured yourself, your personage, and I mean, you get a good holster, you get a good whole carry setup. You know, you guys know what we're talking about. You know.
Y'all smart. That's why I watch us.
After you've done that, the next step, I think we could quibble on, do we go with something that you can shoot a lot or something that is a little more geared to it? I would personally say my next step, I was going to say AR-15, but I think you're right, Caleb. I think the idea of a 22 handgun really does open up a lot more than an AR-15 would, because that 22 can be shot just about anywhere that you can shoot reasonably.
So we're in agreement, I think, that the first two guns are handguns, and it's a 22 and a polymer frame striker fired 9mm.
Like, right. One is a highly accessible, very economical way to shoot, and the other covers your baselines for the most common reason you purchase a firearm: self-defense.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think I think the 9mm, it should be a medium or a large frame. I
call it traditional compact.
Come up with some standard industry nomenclature on frame sizes.
So I think the thing that I saw the other day on a big text thing, which by the time you guys see this will already be out, they called it 1917. And they just put it together like it was the year, like World War I.
Mm.
1917. I like that so much for saying, when I say, like, hey, a concealed carry size gun, 1917 sized, meaning somewhere between the 19, which I will admit is just a little on the small side.
For you, someone like Melody, it's huge.
Right. To the 17, which is a full size duty gun, which includes like the 34, but you can also get VP9s that are right in the middle between those two.
And you've got guns like the Macro from SIG, which is thin, but you've still got 17 in that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I like the term 1917. I think people will probably quibble that you could go a little bit below a 19, but like the G48 is a 19 size gun that's just thin.
Mm-hmm. Right.
The G3 and G4 both fall into that category.
The GX4 is pretty small. The GX4 is a true like micro compact. But the hang on, when is this coming out? Okay, never mind. But the G3 on the other, The G3 on the other hand,
not violated.
Oh Lord, the G3 on the other hand is definitely in that 1917 size and is readily available on the, you know, through licensed firearms retailers where you have to do a background check for like $250 to $300, which is crazy that it's, and like I'm not. This is actually not me blowing smoke about my own products. This is one of those things that I didn't realize until I started working here, is that we make a $300 17-round 9mm that works.
Yeah, it works.
Oh, yeah.
Hold on. Let's be really clear. It works. The gun worked. If it did not work, I just wouldn't talk about it.
Yeah, pretty much.
I
blew through a case and a half of ammo with Fisher on one of these things back when it first came out. We both walked away like, that was cool.
Like, would I carry it? Probably not. I'm pretty devoted to a couple of guns for carry guns. But if my mom called and was like, Jack, I need to go buy a gun. I'm worried. Meet me at the nearest gun store. I'd be like, Mom, just buy this.
Yeah,
you know why? Because she's going to shoot two boxes of ammo through it to get used to the thing. And then it's going to get loaded with defensive ammunition. It's going to get put in a holster. And it's going to live in that thing, probably in a safe next to her bed.
Now, and see, that's it. Your mom, I would actually give her a Taurus 82 revolver, because revolver utility curve, people. Let's go. But anyway, let's talk about the third gun. All right. And I think I agree with the idea that the third gun should be a long gun, but I don't think that it should be an AR-15. I don't actually care, but I do think the third gun should be a rifle of some type. But this is where I feel like we start to get into the weeds a little bit, because it should be a rifle that is contextually appropriate for your environment, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's totally fair. However, 80% of environments in the world are probably matched by a 16-inch AR-15.
Yeah, for sure. The 16-inch AR-15 is the striker-fired 9mm handgun of the rifle world, which is also why I do not give a single solitary fuck about it. And it's, you know, like if you look at my gun locker, I think there's a bunch there. Hang on. There's probably four or five striker-fired 9mm handguns. There isn't a single 5.56 AR in there. But I don't. I'm going to concede this point, because you're technically correct that this 16-inch AR is probably the best choice for 80% of people. It's just so...
Here's the thing.
We're not going by boring, Caleb. We're going by utility, and that is a
utility.
I know.
And fuck you. Get out of here. You've turned to the dark side.
Before you destroy the Sith, that become him.
So, I think if you want to talk about, like, okay, third gun, the long gun, that is a utility defensive item, and you want to be within budget, go pick up a Remington or Mossberg shotgun, 12-gauge pop.
Yeah, okay. So, but I don't even know if I would put a shotgun in the first five guns that you should own.
Well, hold on. I want to be clear here, because we did, like, if you didn't have a lot of money for your first handguns, we gave an option for that.
Mm-hmm.
I want to be clear here that if you don't have a lot of money, a Mossberg 500 shotgun rarely breaks the bank.
It almost never breaks the bank. And I mean, even like the 590 A1, which is the like upscale shotgun, is still like what, under $500, I think?
I think it's about 650.
Like the kitted out Magpul version of it is like a $600 shotgun. And it's got like nice ghost ring sights. I think you can put a dot on it if you want. So if you got a little bit of budget, but not a lot to finish one, you're probably going to be able to finish out a shotgun a little cheaper than an AR-15, but not by a lot, because before you hit the $1,000 mark, you start getting into quality AR-15s. They'll shout out my boys at IWI with the Z-15. Those are $130.
All right, here you go. Your vanilla 590 A1, the 590 A1 Tactical, is like, I'm on our friends at guns.com right now, and there's a 590 A1 with ghost ring sights, a full length to a six round tube, 18.5 barrel, and it's $640. That is not going to hurt you to buy that. That's the, you know, frick. That's a really
good. If you have the disposable income to be thinking about this, that's an easy grab.
I'm adding one of those to my cart.
So, yeah, right.
I will shortly join you in 590 A1 land. I've had one sitting in it for a minute.
So, I think somewhere in there that a utilitarian long gun for self-defense is just a good idea. I think there's always the idea, like, come the end time, you'll be wearing your full kit everywhere and, like, being a badass. Bro, I promise you, a lot of times you're going to be in the field working on, like, please bean sprouts grow, I'm so hungry. And there'll probably be like an old kind of rusty shotgun near you because you don't want to have to carry a plate carrier and an AR-15 and a bunch of ammo out to the field. And that shotgun's mostly there to get rabbits that go by, but if somebody should happen to roll up on you, it's just a quick six pumps to happiness. Don't use.
I've got two buckshots to paradise.
Right,
six like pumps to happiness sounds like prom night.
Like, look, the first two are birdshot. Look, the first two are birdshot for errant gain. After that, it's all slugs. So if you come up talking that trash, I'm just gonna be like, oh, that's real cool. Choo, 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 choo. All right, would you like to continue?
Probably not. All right, so let's say. All right, so hang on, we've got. Let's back up. So our codified list so far: striker fired 9mm pistol, a reliable 22 like the Taurus TX22, compact or competition model or full size. I would get the compact or the competition because you can dot those suckers. Then we were at a 16-inch AR-15 from a reputable manufacturer. They're not a sponsor, but I'm sure a Colt 6920 is still a pretty good choice. So
yeah, that still happens to be a good one. On top of that, they're not super insane.
No, they're like under a grand right now.
I'm gonna say
you ain't heard about Moto Casino. Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto. .us for more details.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode, and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.
Hey, I'm going to say it. Go to PSA. Go to PSA.
Now PSA gun.
By the time that new Saber line, yeah, those are pretty legit.
By the time you've shot a PSA gun to being broken, you'll know enough about that gun to know what you're going to buy next.
That's right. All right, so we've got three guns. Our fourth gun, we kind of said a pump action shotgun. I think that's reasonable. Like,
it's a good one. I'll add contextually, like, if your environment makes sense for it, shotgun.
So I'm going to, here's where I'm going to disagree. I think it should be another handgun. And it should probably be a handgun with a safety.
So, like, a 1911 or
1911,
a Beretta,
CZ.
Any of the nice single action. Yeah.
And I'm going to tell you why. And a lot of people are going to come for me. That is the stash in the house somewhere gun.
Stash in the house locked and loaded with the safety on?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You people are going to come for you for that because...
I know. They're going
to
come for me.
...are very opposed to the idea of leaving loaded guns laying around the house. And I think... if you there, okay, so look, before I, when I lived by myself, before I had a small child running around my house, I had loaded guns hidden through the house because who's gonna find them? Me. I know where they are. Now, it wasn't like, you know, like the pun, that scene from The Punisher with Thomas Jane, but I definitely had loaded guns laying around the house. So I get it.
I'm not saying you don't put them in a safe.
Right.
I like, look, a lockbox in some place, especially a coded one, is a great thing to do. And there is no proof against a kid finding one of those things. There really isn't. And the quicker you have the safety discussion with your children, the better off you're going to be. I'm not saying leave it in the open like if you're a crazy bachelor, you would, or stuff it in the Honey Nut Cheerios box on top of my fridge. I didn't tell you to do that. I told you to make it a safe decision. However, the ability to arm yourself quickly in your house cannot be overstated.
That's fair. The other option to that is just fucking carry your gun when you put your pants on.
You could totally do that.
That's how I feel about that. Like, I feel like you should carry your gun if you're wearing your pants. Now, all right, so.
I don't like pants, though.
So this is, I think, where our lists are going to diverge, because my fourth gun is not another handgun. It is a, it's a rimfire rifle. If specifically for this, but not for the same reason that we have the rimfire pistol. We have the rimfire pistol so that you have an affordable and effective way to get gooder at shooting, right? Mm-hmm. We have the rimfire rifle because just like the AR-15 solves 80% of the problems that you may have, a really high quality rimfire rifle does like 60% of those things. And then it does some things that you can't do with the AR-15, like shoot it hearing safe indoors with a suppressor, because even a suppressed AR is really freaking loud, especially if you're in an enclosed environment. Yeah, exactly. What? Como? Can't hear you.
My house gun's a 13-inch X95 with a can on it. That thing is still loud and loud.
It's not hearing safe, and especially indoors. So, but I think that there is such utility and such usefulness in a good 22 long rifle, especially with, you know, you put a decent optic on it, you can, you know, you get, look, Rossi makes a bunch of 22, and here's the thing, I'm not going to be particular about what type of action. It doesn't have to be semi-automatic. It could be a bolt, it could be a lever gun. All it has to be is a reliable 22 LR, because that you will use that gun. And that gun will come out of the safe in circumstances you don't think that you never thought of. It's going to be the gun that now that you have entered into the gun culture and you're like going to try to get your friends hooked on crack and you take them to the range, you're going to hand them that and they're going to shoot it and it's going to be fun. And then you're going to say, all right, now try this. And you're giving them the AR and they're like, that was fun too. Or maybe they're going to say, that was less fun. Let me go back to the 22. And they're going to keep doing it because 22s are fucking fun. And there is, and that's... that's where I stand on that. I think your fourth one should be a 22 LR rifle. If you want to be a spicy weirdo and a little bit autistic, you can get a 22 Magnum rifle.
Says the guy with three. It's going to change your cost of entry there, but it's also a good bid. Yes. I'll add my third opinion for your fourth gun and say this is when you start looking at a dedicated carry gun. You've got your GP handgun first, something that can be carried and probably can be carried comfortably. And if you're not looking to change that gun, then you can go to the rimfire rifle or, you know, the dedicated house handgun that maybe has a flashlight on it. It's got a manual safety and you kept it loaded, like Jack said. But I'll say fourth, I'd be looking at the truly comfortable dedicated carry gun. So if you need something smaller than that mid-size that you started with, this is when you start looking at that. So you start looking at your, you know, 365X or your G48s, G43X, whatever you want. Because mm-hmm. now you're looking for a specific everyday item, and that might be different than your GP item.
All right, so for my fourth gun, I've said a 22 rifle. You've said a dedicated carry gun, and Jack said a stash gun.
Stash gun.
All right, so now we are on our fifth gun. What, and I like how we were all relative. And so for me, I'll go first. Me, the fifth gun is a shotgun. Like, that's where Like, you've gotten all of these other guns that do all sorts of, you know, very valuable things. Now it's time to get a shotgun. I am a younger version of me would have been like, it has to be a 12 gauge. It's got to be da 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 da. I'm way less dogmatic about that. And this also has a lot to do with the fact that I've done a lot with 410s, like research and testing and things like that, to see how the 410 performs, you know, in the real world. And I've been really impressed with 410 shotguns in general. So I'm just going to say a shotgun. All right. Probably not a 410 Shockwave, because that's a specialty tool, one that I very much like, but a shotgun. It doesn't have to be a, you know, yeah, and
get a cruiser-ish type shotgun.
Yeah, yeah. Get something. Look, like, get something that's not a specialist shotgun. So, you know, probably your best bet for that is going to be one of the Mossberg 500 or 590 series pump guns, and you can get those in anywhere from 12 gauge to 410, you know, and things like that. So that's probably your best bet. I'm going shotgun. Of generic, but like really broadly generic with shotgun, because I don't want people to get bogged down into like, it's got to have ghost ring sights and this and that and all of those other things. If you want to get a Beretta 1301, you should. But
a really good shotgun.
That's like the best. Let's just be fair.
Well, okay, the new A400 Patrol is also really good. So
it's really good. It is really good. It's not as good.
Yeah, the 1301. It is
80% is good. You shouldn't feel bad about having one. I'm probably going to buy one of those over like trying to rob a 1301 from someone, but they're not as good.
I'm thinking about selling my 1301 actually. So
you want to talk some turkey?
I mean, if I'm going to sell it, I'll keep it in the family. So I never shoot it, which is a shame because it's the best shotgun ever made by man.
I want to give my opinion on what the next thing you should buy, but I want to attack something that you said is a specialty tool.
The 410 Shockwave?
Yeah. If you're going to do the 410 Shockwave, why don't you just go ahead and get the Judge?
I'll tell you
why. This is legitimately something I'm saying. I am saying that I think if we're talking about a 410 firearm, I think that is a better option over the Shockwave.
You are making me go against my own product here, which feels really weird and dirty, but the 410 Shockwave is a better platform for shooting 410 rounds than the Judge. The Judge is a more versatile kind of jack of all trades yet master of none. But if I want to blast somebody with a 3-inch piece of 410 buckshot, the Shockwave is a better platform for that.
I bet we should test this.
I think we can test. I mean, I have tested this, but I think we should test this with science. And, you know, we get those ballistics gel lab guys to give us some dummies so we can shoot them right up and like be cool.
Damn right.
Hey, right. Finally, please, we can get those Grantham monies. Please
ask your boss to go buy us a Phantom camera and some ballistics gel lab dummies full of the guts, and we'll all go do that.
We'll
and
figure it out.
It's fine. Come on, slow mo guys. I know you're listening.
the final gun that I think you should purchase before you just start getting into wild stuff is not a gun.
Are you gonna tell me to buy body armor?
Nope.
Oh.
I think you should go to the gun store and buy your first suppressor. It should probably be for that 22 long rifle pistol that you bought. My reasoning why, I think a suppressor on an AR-15 is way more useful in the long run, but 22 suppressor is much cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
I hate the NFA. When I wake up in the morning and I list my ops, the NFA is on the top of the list. If you don't understand what I just said, ask a child near you, they'll explain. But I hate it. But the more we do against it, the more we embrace it, the more paperwork we put on them, the more annoyed they are, and the better that feels at times. And also, if you're going to be a serious gun owner, get over it and just start the paperwork on your first suppressor.
Yeah, get yourself some get yourself some NFA items. All right, so that's interesting that you're that instead of a gun, you're saying a 22 can. And I will say a good 22 can, you can swap back and forth from your rifle to your pistol as well, and it's going to be...
Your 22 rifle, not your 5.56.
Yeah, no, it your will, 22 rifle.
It will shrapnel that thing in a heartbeat.
So if you followed my advice and gotten a 22 rifle for your fourth gun... you can then use that. Damn it, I'm gonna agree with you. Actually, your fifth gun isn't a gun, it's a 22 long rifle can, and get one that is good for the rifle or the pith, the 22 rifle or the 22 pistol.
Yeah, get one of those that costs usually only like $100 more, but get it rated, get it heavy duty. It can probably do 22 mag and 5.72. They're still cheap. It's probably cheaper than the handgun.
Yeah, it's probably... The can itself is going to run you $400. The tax stamp is going to run you $200. I'm sorry, that sucks. That's life. And then you're going to find out that the joys of having a suppressed 22 caliber pistol are unmatched. You have never had more fun than plinking in a backyard and the neighbor not knowing.
Fact.
Now, you should follow all the safety rules. You should absolutely make sure you have a good backstop. Your fence is not a good backstop.
No.
Nope.
Your fence is not your. Hey guys, your fence is not a backstop. Let's just go ahead and
let's nip that one.
Carry on that.
It's not a backstop. And if you annoy your neighbors enough, the cops will come by, right, and then it's a problem.
But yeah, shooting, especially if it's a wet can, I've shot a wet can 20 yards from someone that had no idea what I was doing outdoors.
Oh, you could. So just as like as a fun aside, you could take something like the Taurus TX-22 Compact. You can put a can on it, and then you can do the hush puppy trick where you hold your thumb over the back of the slide to keep the slide from cycling. Mm-hmm. And if you've got a dot on it, I'm not saying I have fired that combination in my house. And there were other adults in the house and they didn't notice that a gun had been fired. But hypothetically, it's Hollywood quiet. Like, it's movie quiet when you do that. So, and hypothetically.
Once you've ripped that Band-Aid off, every other NFA purchase will be a lot more nice to you. You'll know the process. You'll know it's not a big deal. And I'm telling you, that's the way to go. Keith, last one.
No, I'm in total agreement with you. A can is the last one, especially since you have a 22, and that's going to be the easiest one to do. A can is going to change your perspective on NFA items. You're probably going to end up with more cans after that. You're probably going to put a can on the AR, and you might get a can for the handgun, although I think that one has the least utility of the three.
Also, having a suppressed 22 handgun in like a messenger bag and whipping that thing out makes people think like, ooh, an assassin. And you'll feel really cool.
Mm-hmm. You will, in fact, feel awesome. Like...
It's got them...
Look, everybody... I don't... Look, nobody who's not a serious gun guy has listened to this, so I'm going to tell you guys the secret. Practice putting your suppressor on to the point that you can do it without having to look at it. This is real key. Because when you're talking to someone and absentmindedly putting on a suppressor, you look cool as fuck. Mm. There's like no denying you appear like people are like, oh. All that stuff where people are like, oh, reassemble your rifle with a blindfold. No, you look stupid. Putting a suppressor on while talking to someone, that person, especially if it happens to be a date.
Jack, you have been... Let's not talk about Jack's dating history.
Young men, listen to me. I am your guiding.
Jack's going to give you the dirty little secrets right now. Look, and oh, that's Lord. What we're going to end this episode.
Yeah. Women, that's fantastic.
Women love confidence. And confidently putting a suppressor on? Choice.
All right. So those are our five.
That's our R-rated ending.
That's the end. If you've got a fucking lit, yeah, post it in the comments. It's great. After you get those five basic guns, go wild, start buying weird shit. You know,
go get the friend fun. AR. The friend AR is fun. Pass off AR, like, here, buddy, we're going to a class.
Oh, it's the end of the world. Pass off carry gun is really cool when your buddy comes to your town and didn't bring one, and you meet him at the airport and hand him an envelope that he has to rip open. And there's a pistol and a holster in there, like you're in like clear and present danger.
Also a bad move.
That was choice. That was fun when Alex, our buddy Alex Sansone, came up and visited me. And I'm like, I know you didn't hop on the plane and check a freaking gun when you didn't check a bag, my dude. Here you go.
Right. As a side note, actually, you know, I think we're going to discuss visiting gun friend etiquette in the next episode. Thanks, everyone, for watching, liking, sharing, subscribing. Make sure you keep doing that because it's great. And we will be back next week with more.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
You're listening to a podcast right now. Driving, working out, walking the dog. If you're into podcasts, chances are you have something to say too. With RSS.com, starting your own is free and easy. Upload an episode and we distribute it to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, and hundreds more. Track your listeners, see where they're from, and start earning from ads like this, even with just 10 listeners a month. If you've been thinking about starting a podcast, this is your sign. Start free at rss.com.